Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
In Revelation 2 and 3, there are seven letters to seven churches, revealing issues that we all can face, giving us encouragement, warnings, and calling us to repentance. Today, we are asking questions that only you can answer for yourself. Have you left your first love relationship with God? Have you compromised His truths, become callous to sin, or possibly just played the church game? It's all a matter of the heart. So join in the conversation, take a deep, prayerful look at your heart, and have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In every letter that was written to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that is so important, Janie, because ears to hear, really, he's talking about our heart. To hear from our heart what he's saying to each one of us individually about our walk with him.
I'm glad you put the emphasis on the heart, because now I'm going to come up with a, "Really, Sharon? I thought the heart was deceitfully wicked and who could trust it?"
Oh.
Because you see, that's what the enemy wants to throw at us. And that is truth from timeless scripture.
Okay.
However, we are to guard our hearts, because God says when you guard them, you will look at everything to examine your heart, and that way you will eliminate being deceived by the heart that can be deceitfully wicked when it's left up to its own thinking.
Okay.
And so we want to dispel any little barb that the enemy could come in and say, "Oh, you can't believe that."
Right. Okay.
You have to know how to accept it in the context with which it was said. But it was Jesus Christ's heart and his commitment of his heart that took him to the cross.
Right.
So for us to disengage the need to be cautious about our heart is fallacy.
Right.
So I want to just eliminate that right up front, because we're going to be talking a lot about the heart.
Well, that's where everything comes from. The Bible says so. That out of the heart come all the issues of life. That's why we are supposed to guard it.
So many times, Sharon, we see the heart as just, oh, what makes me feel good? It's an emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And the Beatles wrote a song called "All You Need Is Love." They claim the words were written for this world.
Mm.
Now, the fact that the Beatles came into scriptural alignment with setting the priority that what we really need is love, I don't know what their mindset was, but it's probably the only time that the Beatles may have spoken a truth that would have a principle of lining up with the Bible. I don't know for sure, but even the world sees that there is a need for the heart to have love and to be able to appropriate it as they walk here on earth.
Well, and I'm sure their definition of love is not the same definition of love that the Lord is calling the churches to return to their first love, as he did in Revelation 2 to the church of Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. And we find that it doesn't matter which one of the churches were really given that admonition that they needed to have their heart aright so their life would be in alignment on why Jesus Christ had given them life. So when the churches are addressed, there is a principle that we need to apply personally, and that is the point of departure is the point of return. And if the first love is what we need to have as our priority, then each of the other churches were being addressed to say, where have you left your first love?
Oh,
where,
okay.
Where have you allowed your heart to be led astray?
Right.
And so in the churches, he defines that, and then he calls for a correction with the word repent.
Yes.
Now, there's only two churches that did not have a direct need to repent. One was Smyrna, who was in tribulation, and one was Philadelphia, who really had returned to their first love and was walking according to how the Lord had asked them to.
So, if you leave your first love, then it's easier to compromise. It's easier to become calloused and defiled and deceived and to walk away from the truth thinking that you have everything that you need. You don't need Jesus Christ. And that pretty much goes down the line from Ephesus to Laodicea.
And you know what, Sharon? If you have a lack of love, as was shown in really each of these churches, that goes to the downfall, finalizing the defeat that Laodicea has today. And Laodicea is alive today. It's really considered the apostate church.
Right. Okay.
All right. And we are bombarded today with knowing everything we think we need to know without knowing the heart of Jesus Christ. It is Him, His person, that we need to know, because His heart is not based on emotion, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on commitment.
Okay.
And we have a selfish lust that has been substituted for God's sacrificial commitment of love.
Oh, okay.
And that puts us in a self-gratification mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so self reigns mm-hmm. instead of the love of Jesus Christ.
Right. So if we choose the substitution, we're not getting the real deal. And it's allowing us to compromise our lives in a way that we are living defeated.
Thinking that we have it all together, but you know where we're deceived, Sharon?
Where? In our heart.
Well, yes, to be factual, yes. But we are deceived by a spirit of pride.
Oh.
And James really camps out there.
Mm-hmm.
He says that we are full of pride and we are lacking in our humility.
Okay.
And that's very relevant for today.
Yeah.
We are as deceived with a spirit of pride. We have all our possessions. We have our earthly goods. We have this. We have that. Not knowing that the Lord says that He only deals with those who are of a broken and contrite heart. That would be Psalms 51:17.
Right.
And if we don't have a broken and contrite heart, we will have a prideful heart. And that will lead us into deception, which leads us into self-seeking, which causes Jesus Christ to be dethroned in our life as we sit upon the throne. And then we wonder why we're having problems.
Right. So we have a pride issue, and pride gets in the way of love, doesn't it?
Pride will not allow love, because love is sacrificial, and pride is anything but sacrificial.
Mm-hmm.
Pride is another way of saying me, myself, and I must be in control and number one.
Oh, I see, I see. So that's why it's so important for us to draw near to God and humble ourselves before Him in His sight so He can cleanse us and purify us and lift us up out of the pit of pride.
And Sharon, that's why Laodicea today is in so much trouble, because they have Christianity without Christ.
Okay.
They have a performance. They have what they consider best is really what is destruction that's affecting nations, countries, people, families,
right.
relationship.
Well, we're getting a skewed idea of what Christ really looks like, because people do look at the church to see God the Father. And we're not giving a correct representation of who He is.
Well, and Sharon, stop and think about in the current passage that we have about Laodicea, he's knocking at the door.
Oh, right. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me.
So we may be talking about him inside, but he himself is outside.
Oh, yes.
So how are we going to really know him and follow him when he's just saying, I'm knocking at your heart's door.
Uh-huh.
You really don't know anything about me, but you think you know everything about me. And so we are judging who God is by our own estimation.
And not by who he tells us he is.
That's right. In fact, someone has referred to the Laodicean church as living in fool's paradise.
Uh-huh.
And part of the reason is because they were deceived because of all of the blessings,
right.
Materialisms.
Right.
All right.
That sounds so familiar today, Janie. A lot of people believe that if you're blessed materially, if you have prosperity, if you have riches, if you have the best of the best, then you must be right with God because he blesses that way.
And that would be a misappropriation of what the scriptures really teach, because if it was just blessing, Sharon, and it was just the good of life, then why did he go to the cross?
Yeah.
If he's blessed with everything good, it would almost say, you know, did you go to the cross for nothing? I mean, was it not really necessary because you're giving us everything we need now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's blasphemy.
Right, right.
All right.
Well, that's a scary, scary place to be. If you think about the deception that we've believed that has gotten us so off track, off the perfect plan and purpose that God has set before us in a relationship of a heart, a love relationship, we have totally walked away from that in looking at the physical aspect of what we gain here on this earth.
I know it, Sharon, and it's saddening, but you know what? There's hope.
Amen.
So
his name is Jesus.
That's right. And you know what? To this miserable apostate church in the time that we are living in, and we see the evidences, if you even have to turn on the news, you almost have to turn it off because it's more than what your heart can bear.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But here is what Jesus says in Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, there's that heart of love again, commitment, sacrifice. Uh-huh. I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Now, he has just already given them some life counsel that they need to personalize in their life. And that is, buy some gold, not at the local store, but buy it from me. And you know what? Buying really means sacrifice, because it's the parting with self to have Jesus Christ. The choosing the way of the cross in order that Christ's righteousness may be brought into our life. And so he says, now I counsel you to buy, because buying indicates a parting with a lesser good for a greater good. So we give our money to give something that we would really want to have, that we consider a greater good. That's why we're willing to give up our money. Mm. And so the Lord also says, then apply that to your eternal state. So how few are really seeking to find spiritual bargains, keen to get the best value for your purchase? You're not satisfied with anything but the very best that God can give you. And you are prepared to pay the highest price to obtain the greatest good.
Oh, that gives me a visual. That kind of buying makes us really, truly rich, clothed in white garments, sitting at the table and dining with him.
Yes. Now, I'm going to make a statement that you may need to question me on, as if you never have before. Sharon, by death, which we would say is totally negative and something to be avoided at all cost, the death of Jesus Christ purchased death at the cross.
Okay.
And through his death, he overcame death to give us life. So death purchased death, bought it all up, and then out of that death came resurrection and came life, by which we now can have eternal life. Does that make sense to any degree?
Well, if you try to think it out logically, I would say no. But if you're looking at it from the spiritual aspect, I would say that that makes perfect sense, because we're talking about the death of our own pride, the death of our own wants and desires that are against God. So out of that kind of death, you do find life that is better than what we could ever ask or think or hope for ourselves.
Okay, you've said that very beautifully, very beautifully. Now, as we are personalizing everything today, what pulls us off from accepting that simplicity? Have you ever heard of a tear, Sharon? Not like you ripped in your clothes.
You mean like Matthew talks about the tares and the wheat?
Yes.
They grow up together like weeds and fruit. Yeah. So if I'm out in my garden and I'm pulling up weeds, sometimes if the plant isn't very mature, it will pull up with the weeds around it.
And so if we are living a soulish life, we won't recognize the tares that are growing up with the real true Christian, and we can be deceived, sidetracked, when our soul is reigning and not the spirit reigning in us.
So do you think that one of the reasons why we get off base is because the weeds grow so fast and they look so full and beautiful before the actual real plant does?
Yes, and I have a tree in my front yard called a wisteria.
Uh-huh.
It has beautiful purple plums.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, one day, there was the most gorgeous white flowering coming off of the wisteria branches. It was a poisonous weed,
yes,
a tear, that killed most of the wisteria bush. And when we went in to get rid of the false, beautiful white poison, it turned the most ugly, ghastly picture of brown death. I can personalize that in my life if I allow anything but what the scriptures have taught me, with the Holy Spirit guiding me back to the person of Jesus Christ. I can be totally deceived in accepting one form of beauty for another form of beauty.
Right.
And Jesus Christ said that he is light. And then I also read in the scriptures where Satan says he's also light. And if I'm looking at the riches of this world, if I'm looking at comfort, if I'm looking at the things that the Laodicean church was making a priority, I am literally buying into death from looking at what I can't discern.
But it all goes back to the love, doesn't it? I mean, if we lose our love and we're all about works and we're all about the formalities of Christianity, then we can get so off base. As we go through these letters, we see how after they lost their love, they came into compromise and they came into callousness of their heart. And then pretty soon they can't even tell good from evil, right from wrong. And they just want to embrace everything and they defile themselves. And then it's like, oh, well, we're self-sustaining. We have need of nothing. And there's a warning here that we really have to dig deep into our hearts to find the truth for ourselves in our walk with God. Have I lost my first love? Have I walked away from it for compromise? Have I walked away from it for conveniences, for riches, for the way I look, pride? What has caused me to get my eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ and onto something else?
Sharon, I think I can answer that fairly simply, and that is we have accepted a formal religion. Because a formal religion we can still be comfortable in and look good. If you are going to have a relationship, not a religion, but a relationship with the person of the God of creation, the God who says he is sufficient for all in all, and he has given all in all unto his Son, then we will perhaps wind up being in Matthew 7, where we say, Lord, haven't we done these wonderful miracles in your name? Mm-hmm. Haven't we stood fast and proclaimed you? Haven't we done this and done that?
Right.
And they are expecting to hear, well done. Instead, they hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, Sharon, I don't have the discernment to always be able to see if I am sitting next to a tear, if I'm sitting next to a individual that has Christianity but no Christ. And so I have to understand that the Holy Spirit will give me the ability to discern as I wait on him, because the Lord has said the tares and
the wheat
are going to live together until he returns.
Right. Well, one of the things that I think that we really need to do as we read through the scriptures, as we talk about these situations and possibly deceptions that we are faced with, is not just to see it in someone else, but really truly ask, is this me? I mean, Lord, do I know you the way you want me to know you? Is there a deeper walk you're calling me to? I don't want to be satisfied and stagnant where I sit, but draw me closer. Let me know you deeper. Let me find a more intimate relationship with you. No matter what, I want to know you. I want to have ears to hear what you are saying to me and repent and return and surrender my heart and give up my pride and humbly bow before you and give you all that I am.
And if you do that, Sharon, you will fulfill John 15:5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And there is one glaring error that we expose ourselves on if we are not the genuine deal. And that is, we will be full of self, and guess what? Self loves to talk about self. And so self will magnify themselves and not the Lord. So listen to your own heart, listen to others' words, and see if they magnify any form of self, talk about self in any way, or if there is never a need to talk about self, but there is a tremendous need to extol the character of who Jesus Christ is, his attributes, his power, his sufficiency, his ruling and reigning. All that he is available to the man, woman, boy, or girl that will be available to all that he is.
Amen. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.